We'd love to change this old world. We're trying to do it one person at a time at this stage, maybe multiple down the line, but we take it by, you know, it's how you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. Roger Sales back with you, second hour here, the Sunday Night Radio Ranch RBN edition, and I believe Sam has a caller for us. There was it, Pat in Texas, was that it? All right, well, is it Pat female or Pat male? I guess I'll find out here in a second.
Female.
Okay, well, you never know these days, you know.
No, get you in trouble.
You might have had some of those beta blockers or something. How are you doing, Pat?
Oh, I'm doing better, but I wanted to ask you a question. I thought I'd heard you answer before, but the subject's come up over and over because I almost ruined the whole jury pool by telling the judge that just because you're convicted of a felon, it doesn't mean anything to me. I want to know what the felony was. You know, like the right to carry a gun because the state said you couldn't or whatever. That,
right.
See?
Right.
So anyway, did you say there's some kind of like a, something that will throw out some of your paperwork if you are a convicted felon?
No, I didn't say anything about that. I don't remember saying anything about it. I guarantee you, though, if you tell them you're a national, they won't let you into any jury pool in the country.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I guarantee you that. Okay.
I'd like to go.
I had a funny story. A friend of mine was on a jury pool, Pat. This is an interesting story. He's really like a son to me there where I'm from in Panama City, over in the panhandle there. And he was called in on a murder trial. And he... Well, you know, you should, if you, people want to get out of jury duty, obviously, for obvious reasons, but if you ever get the chance, and you can, I mean, you got a chance to really throw a hitch in their giddy up, this system, okay, by being in there. So anyway, my friend Jeff's his name, and Jeff went ahead and went down to the jury pool, and it was a case of a very diminutive female, you know, maybe 5'4" or something, with a big old burly alcoholic abusive boyfriend, lived in a trailer. And he had a .45 that he had taken to the gunsmith and had that thing with a hair trigger on it. And he was drunk and trying to get into the trailer to beat her up, and she had that gun not knowing it had that hair trigger and shot him dead with a .45 at the door of the trailer. And it was a murder over that, the trial was, okay? And what was funny was Jeff had brought in a FIJA, you know, jury handbook with the Constitution and all that stuff. And he had one of those little pocket constitutions with him. And he said, you know, Roger, we got in the jury deliberation room, and they brought in the .45. They brought in a bunch of bullets right there. And when they found out that I had one of those books, they were more scared of that book than they were of almost a loaded .45 in the jury room.
That's right. I don't think I've ever heard anybody talking about FIJA on RBN.
Really? Well, that's something, you know, it's one of the patriarchs of our movement was a gentleman's no longer with us. He died just within the last few years, Red Beckman, a legend in the Patriot movement, a patriarch, wrote a lot of books, and that was Red Beckman's. Red's idea was FIJA. I had the opportunity and the pleasure to meet him and shake his hand one time many years ago and thank him for his contributions. I mean, you talk about thanking service guys. It's guys like Red Beckman you need to thank. It's guys like Eustace Mullins you need to thank for their service. Because they're the patriarchs of why we're here today. People like those guys.
Well, I got in further trouble that day because they called me up afterwards, the prosecutor and the defender, and they said, do you really believe what you just said? And I said, I believe more than that. I believe that we have a right to the law here today. And the judge behind me gave me an A-OK sign, and we were going to... a signature where everybody signs signatures to keep you from having to pay the full price to run, you know? And then he called me up and said, you know what this lady did here today? Well, you know, I mean, I don't even turn them down because I'm 70 because I need, hey, they need us out there. I might be the one needing a good jury. You know what I mean?
Might do it. Well, let's hope not. If you know what we teach here, you can get yourself out of that, out of their realm of charging you with anything, should you want to. That's what we help people do. So I don't know if you've heard enough of my shows or know what we're about here, but removing people from the system is our area of expertise. And I got a pretty damn good track record at this now. The head guy is the Secretary of State of the United States that makes this decision, and out of all the people that have ever submitted this paperwork, none of them have ever been turned down, and not one person has ever reported to me any backlash anywhere in their life from doing this over 11 years. I think that's a pretty good unblemished track record, in all honesty.
Well, I've heard it, but let me go back and ask you what we were just talking about. Do you have to tell them that you're a national?
Well, yeah, you do. You got to tell them you are, because you're correcting. See, what they've done is they've turned it. Everything has to be voluntary, Pat. You know, that's the big unspoken truth. If it's not voluntary, if they're telling you what you are, it's tyranny. So that's why they've gone to all this trouble to turn all this stuff around, where they can ask you those two questions, and you, not knowing what they're asking, can answer yes and sign something. And now you've consented to their fraud, A. And B, that second question, you've given them the consent of the governed and said, yeah, I consented to the fraud, and it's okay if you govern me. All the power they've got, we gave them in this method right here. Without it, they may be a bunch of rich old Satanists, but that's about all they are. We wield a bunch of power and influence, but not power to the point of where they can do it like they're doing it right now. If we take away our consent, they're dead in the water, because they're totally exposed.
Well,
they know
it.
See, our people don't know it and don't understand this, because we've been so psychologically conditioned, Pavlovianly conditioned, to give them and impute all this power to them, not understanding that underneath we're the ones that gave them to them.
Right. Well,
that's it's the Wizard of Oz, Pat. It's just exactly the Wizard of Oz movie.
Being on that jury. And I learned this about being on a jury after I was 7 years old. I learned that those people were asking you so many personal questions. They knew more about you. If you wanted to know something, they'd ask you something. And I said, that's not right. I mean, they're going to know more about me. You know.
Wait, what you're talking about is a process called voir dire. It's when they go up and interview jurors, and both sides of the case have a chance to ask questions and strike jurors. And they're trying to, you know, make sure there's not anybody overtly prejudiced to their side and what they're trying to accomplish there. But that's what was going on right there, I think you're talking about.
Yeah, well, they tell you to answer honestly, and then they say, do you know anybody who's a cab driver? Oh, my son. Are you? I'm not telling all this personal stuff. I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah, good for you. You should have said, does that mean an Uber too?
All right, I'll let you go. I just wanted
thank
to know
you,
about
Pat.
The.
Well, nice
okay,
to converse
you.
With you. And you feel free to call us back if you got questions and want to pursue any of this. We'd be happy to help you, okay?
I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, sweetie. All right, have a good 4th. Let's see, Sam, I don't think there's anybody else lined up, is there? Okay, well, if you want to call in, now's a good time to do it, 512-248-8252, if you want to converse or ask a question, make a comment, whatever. We're here to entertain that. If not, I'll launch off into something else. What was I thinking about a second ago that could be pretty important? We got about 10 minutes for the first break here. Well, we were talking about the administrative state earlier, and I was trying to impress on people how important it is to understand that. There never were any of these administrative agencies before they rolled over the bankruptcy. See, and then they started with Roosevelt and the WPA, the Works Progress Association, all his three-letter agencies, and put the people back to work. And they did some good things. They did some real good public to the post office, and it's a very nice post office with marble walls and all kinds of stuff. In my hometown, Panama City, was built by the WPA, actually. So they did do some constructive things, but it was those early agencies that caused an awful lot of problems internally, because there was still this hangover of the way the country'd always been under these freedom and constitutional rules and that system, and Roosevelt's, his New Deal raw deal or Jew deal. You can call it whichever one you want. It's been called many things. Those are three of them. And as they launched into that with these agencies to change the form of government, because now we had serfs and we had to have somebody to overrule the serfs because they didn't have access to those constitutional protections anymore. We had a property right in them because of this hypothecated false bankruptcy. And so we got to have a mechanism where we can get man-made laws to the serfs that we now have a property interest in. Okay, so that's where the outgrowth of all of this was. And the administrative state is incredibly powerful. This is the deep state you hear people referring to. This is the administrative state. It's the CIA and all these agencies and all these corrupt heads of agencies like this guy, Christopher Wray at the FBI. I mean, what a joke. What's his name? Garfunkel's his real name, Merrick Garland. Over there at Department of Justice, that's got to be the epitome of a Bolshevik piece of crap right there, of somebody from the KGB is Merrick Garland. Merrick Garfinkel's his real name. And he's shunned because they nominated him for a Supreme Court justiceship, and the Republicans hurt his feelings and grilled the little communist bastard, okay? So anyway, all these agencies and these people just like that right there are the deep state, and how they collude behind the scenes to totally neuter you, geld you, if you're trying to do something positive and to make your life miserable. The Russia, 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 all that crap, okay, with Trump. So anyway, that's the administrative state. Well, for the first 13, almost 15 years of this new Jew deal, if you will, because that's exactly what it is, there's no rule book, and there's an awful lot of dissension. The number of cases went to the Supreme Court. There's a bunch of them that took these issues to task on whether Roosevelt had the power to do this, and then to see they didn't have any rule book. So there's no really rule book formal on what they could do and couldn't do that had been passed by Congress. So there was kind of like the blind leading the blind. I remember the style of one of those cases is Schechter versus Schechter poultry. I just remember it because, first of all, it's very Jewish, obviously, and the other thing's got that poultry in there, and obviously it was a family deal. But that was a lot over some of these constitutional principles that didn't apply anymore that people were still trying to get used to. Well, it was a number of years before they got the rule book passed that governs all of these agencies, and it's very important. We've seen it come to play here recently. We've probably talked about it a bit here on the program because we spend a lot of time on regulations. They're incredibly important. It's the power and teeth of the administrative state. Okay? And so the rule book, so must be somebody calling in, Sam. Yeah, go ahead and patch them in. Who is it, first of all? I'm going to finish. Okay, Karen in West Virginia, just hold on for a second, Karen, and let me finish this thought here. And the rule book is called the Administrative Procedures Act. It's referred to as the APA, and it's codified at Title V of the United States Code, Section 552, in a real fancy legal term here, et seg, et sequitur, means and following. So Section 552 and following is all the APA, the Administrative Procedures Act, or the rule book that the administrative state has to abide by. And this is where all of our patriot victories in court, and since I've been in this movement, everybody always thinks court, of course. Okay, once you're in their dance with them, it's really hard to win, okay? The way you beat these guys, you preempt them and cut their feet out from under them. But regardless, most of the legal cases that we have had victories in are something to do with the rule book in the administrative state. It's something that they had to do that they didn't do, or that they did that they had to do that they did incorrectly. And usually our victories hinge on one of those two. Recent example, Karen, was the mask mandate that was overturned out of Florida. And that was done on the regulations and the fact that the regulation they were enforcing was not an enforceable to the general public regulation. And nobody ever questioned it or brought it up. We just presumed, here we go, you got to do this, and we're just going to presume it's a law. They don't tell you it was passed improperly, and the only people that it applied to was employees of the CDC. They kind of neglected to tell you that. How you doing, Karen?
evening.
Are you there? Hi.
Hi, I'm here. Yes, I have no confidence in the government.
Well, good.
And I would definitely encourage people, anybody within the sound of my voice, to stop voting in elections, because that is their greatest fear, that we are no longer going to be manipulated and involved in their system.
Well, if you understood the system and what it is, you wouldn't participate in it anyway, okay?
Yeah,
under the
exactly.
great heading of rights.
Yeah,
here,
the system
some
does
legal.
Not work for us.
Well, let
it
me give you some legal. Let me give you some legal reality and facts here, okay? Under
sure.
the great category of rights, there's two subcategories. One of them is civil rights, the rights you have among other people in the society, and the other is political rights, a right to run for office, vote, and all that stuff. Well, guess what, Karen? You didn't get any political rights under the 14th Amendment. You only got civil rights. That's why they call voting a franchise, because they had to give you a franchise to do it so we could play political theater, because that's what's going on. Even the people you elect that pass laws, take those laws and that legislation and pass them right over here to the aforementioned and described administrative state, so man-made bureaucrats can at times turn the intent of that legislation around 180 degrees and come enforce it on you. That's your political rights right there.
Yeah, the system is totally corrupt. And they're not, they don't care about us at all. And the best thing for people to do is to opt out and quit voting. Because, for example, in 2016, they wanted to run Jeb Bush against Hillary Clinton. And they realized that this was not going to produce any kind of voter turnout. There was no energy behind any of this. So they brought out Trump. And Trump energized the Republican base and energized the left because they hated Trump. And so they got everybody back involved in the system. The worst thing that could happen to the system is for us to decide we don't have any kind of, there's no reason to be involved in it. And so we are going to become anarchy. At this point, anarchy is the best thing that could happen for us.
Self-rule is absolutely what happens when you file one of these affidavits with the Secretary of State. You are at that point an anarchist.
Anarchy is the future. If we don't get out of the system, we have absolutely no hope, because they just herd everybody this way, that way. And I'll never vote again. I will never be ever a part of this totally corrupt system again, because it's not working for us. It's just, like you said, it's theater. It's a joke.
What did George Carlin say? If voting mattered, they wouldn't let you do it.
Exactly. They'd make it illegal.
Yeah.
And when the people stop voting, that worries them, because they know that there are people that are going to start looking for solutions outside of the system that they control. That's what scares them.
Do you know that you are actually the enemy? You don't know how right you are. And that bankruptcy in March the 9th of 33, we have one of our callers, Joe from Oklahoma, that calls in a couple of times, knows Eugene Schroeder. And Eugene Schroeder, I guess, is still with us. I hope so. And the gentleman that helped him do that project and did that back about 25 years ago on the bankruptcy called Trading with the Enemy Act. And literally what they did was in 1917, when they declared war on Germany, which was real close because there's a lot of Germans in the country at that point, you know, our country. And when they declared it, they made Germans the enemy. And when they went and did the bankruptcy, they pulled that exact same piece of legislation, the Trading with the Enemy Act from 1917, and they passed it again. And the only thing they changed, Karen, was Germans to citizens of the United States. We were declared enemies by these people at this hypothecated fraudulent bankruptcy almost 100 years ago.
Yeah, it's been corrupt. And it has not worked in our favor for so long that I cannot believe that people think that they're going to vote for Republicans. I don't care if it's Ron DeSantis. I don't care if it's Donald Trump. None of these people work for us, work outside the system, because that's what scares them.
There's once a couple
given,
up there.
Once you've given up on it, they know they can't herd you like cattle.
Right. Marjorie Taylor Greene's and the Jim Jordans and Gates, Matt Gates, and there's a couple of them up there that are decent. Louis Gohmert, whatever his name is, there from Texas,
yeah, Tom
is a former judge.
There's a handful of people, but they're not going to change anything.
They're stifled. They got to get past the rhino. You know, I saw a commercial today for this guy that's running for governor of Michigan that they're tormenting up there. He's an ex-Navy SEAL. You should have seen the commercial I saw today that this guy did. He's got a double barrel 50 caliber, right? And he goes, "We're going rhino hunting." Bam, and he slams that thing shut. He goes, "We don't need a license, and there ain't no bag limit." And he just did a really powerful commercial, all based around guns and going after these rhinos. No wonder they are harassing the pee waddling out of him up there.
Well, the Second Amendment doesn't do you any good if you're not going to take your guns out of your gun safe and go use them. And they know that. They've seen this for 30, 40 years.
Oh, they're
nobody's
dying to
gonna
get
them. Do anything. They turn on the TV, they sit there, they watch all of the sports, the NASCAR. As long as they've got all of this entertainment, they're not gonna do anything. They know this.
That's changing, though, Karen. I mean, it's changing out. There's a lot of awareness growing, and I'm a
well,
glass.
Well, I hope
glass,
there is some more awareness growing because
there is.
The time is short.
Yes,
the time is short because if they get us into this digital currency, it's over.
Did you see the remark of that gal at Davos that was sitting next to Bill Gates that got caught on a microphone that turned to him and said, "We need to get this done. The window is closing." That's their internal chatter at Davos. And what's the window closing? Public awareness growing. I firmly believe they pulled the trigger on this early, because the internet has gotten so many people awake, and because of, you know, let's face it, the wave of populism that swept the globe with the election of Trump, whether you like him or not, okay? I mean, I saw elections over there in Europe, in Slovenia and places, where they're out in the square chanting Trump, 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 and waving Trump signs, okay? It was the catalyst to populism that he really, really accomplished. So all of those things scared these people to death, and I think that they instituted their agenda early, and when they've done that, their timeline and their event line are merging, and that's when they make mistakes, and they're making a bunch of them now, okay? So anyway, Karen, let me check and see if that's another call that came in. Sam, was that another caller? And Karen, thank you for calling, sweetie, and I agree with you.
Have a wonderful rest of your evening. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Karen. And I hadn't voted since Old Blue was a pup. So personally. So let me see who's next here, and I'll talk to you again sometime soon, hopefully, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, sweetie. Bye-bye. Hope to say hello to the West Virginia folks up there. Who's next, Sam? Busy. Well, let's bring Chris on, a fellow host here. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Roger. Good afternoon. Great. Thanks for having
me. Good afternoon to you. Thank you for calling in.
In the morning, I do a show at 10 a.m. Central, Liberation Station. I called in about Fully Informed Jury Association. FIJA.org is their site.
Right.
And it needs to be noted that judges and prostituting attorneys commit jury tampering when they misdirect juries of their rights to vote their consciences and claiming that they must apply the laws that are charged to what facts they believe to be true. Yep. And contrary to this misdirection, there are many legal precedents, and quotes from the Founding Fathers at that FIJA site, FIJA.org. Just to familiarize folks with Red Beckman's work, and I'm so glad that he put out so much material in his lifetime. I remember back in the 90s being introduced to him in Walls in Our Minds, one of his other books.
We Well, my dear friend from Atlanta, Harvey Wysong, from a great political family there, he was the Fiji guy. That's how I met him. I heard him being interviewed on one of the local radio stations. I was driving along the interstate. I literally pulled off to the side of the road and wrote his phone number down so I could get a hold of him, and we've ended up being great friends for many years. His mother literally single-handedly stopped the Equal Rights Amendment from being in the Constitution today. Georgia was the pivotal ratification state, and her and another gal single-handedly got in a car and drove the state of Georgia and got that thing defeated. Okay, really, really nice political family. Anyway, Harvey and I took a bunch of those Fiji booklets down to the Richard B. Russell Federal Building in downtown Atlanta in the parking lot and started passing them out to people, and we shut down the federal building. They shut down the federal building because we were handing out Fiji booklets.
Wow, I'm surprised you didn't get busted. I mean, like,
We were in the parking lot. They couldn't do anything about it.
Well, they still have gone after people like Mark Schmitter here in, I think it was Orange County a few years ago, and arrested him and put him through the ringer for doing it in the parking lot as well. So, they charge us for jury tampering when we're trying to prevent jury tampering.
Exactly.
And, if jurors, and it's great that Red has a red-blooded family, it's protesting runs in their blood.
Well, he was right there with Bill Benson. It was those two that they had a sponsor. I don't know who it was. But after Bill retired from the Chicago Taxing Authority up there in Illinois, and they went and started going around to all the states that were states in the Union when the 16th and 17th Amendment were supposedly ratified, and going back in the archives, and Red was very, very involved in that too. He was really one of the founding patriarchs of our movement, or at least added one hell of a lot to a solid foundation.
So I heard that he went around all the states and found that they never passed the 16th Amendment properly.
Neither one of those were ever properly ratified by a state. The ratification process is a very involved process. They have to pass it exactly as it's passed in D.C. They have to read it in the state chambers three times openly and have not one I dotted off to the side from the original one. And most states, in fact, all of them didn't do that.
Wow. Yeah, I know that. I knew that was true for the 16th. I didn't know that was true for the 17th.
It is. Now, after that, those books came out, The Law That Never Was, Volume 1 and 2 are the name of it. There was a patriot that won a case in court, a district court, and brought that in, said the 16th Amendment was never legally ratified. It doesn't have any effect on the taxing power anyway. It's all smoke and mirrors. But that judge ruled in favor of him, and it got probably about a nanosecond after that before all the amicus curie briefs started coming in, and it got overturned real quick. But then at that point, the court on the appellate court said, well, no, this is a political question. And so you go and take it to Congress, and Congress goes, no, this is a legal question. And so they play hot potato. But I will tell you this, because I met Bill Benson back in Atlanta, and I heard him say this personally. He was contacted by a senator, a very well-known, long-serving senator's top aide, and he was told if they would turn over all of those notarized certified records that they got, that his family would never have a financial problem the rest of his life. So, who do you think the senator was?
Can't imagine.
Orrin Hatch.
Oh, yeah. I'm not aware. I wasn't aware of that. Name rings a bell from years ago, being 48 years old, but I don't remember much about him.
He's one of the old battle axes on the supposedly on the Republican side. You can see how loyal he was right there, can't you?
Well, yeah, I know that Sullivan versus U.S. also said that the 16th Amendment wasn't passed, and there's another book I'm trying to recall here. I have it in my bookshelf somewhere on that. But what I wanted to comment on after the break, if you could hold me over, is how to enforce your rights as a juror and make sure you don't kick off a jury when you're trying to exercise your conscience.
Okay, good. Well, we'll cover that when we get back. Sam's got to get a paycheck and pay some bills. I don't know why he's interested in doing that, but he seems to be. So we better let him get it done. See you in a minute.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth! You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
We have gun rules changing all over. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. The Supreme Court said that New York's arbitrary discretion over concealed carry permits is unconstitutional. This may mean that more states will become shall-issue states, but we shouldn't jump the gun yet. The may-issue states could just pass specific laws restricting who can or can't have a concealed carry permit, removing the decision-making process from the issuing authority. On the same day, 10 Senate Republicans joined the Democrats in passing new gun rules. Some of the new rules are actually common sense. For example, if an 18-year-old wants to buy a gun, then maybe their juvenile record really is relevant. However, I don't like the idea of federal money helping states with so-called red flag laws. I just don't see how due process and red flag confiscations can coexist. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, see this Possum Parabellum.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Oh, yeah, we want to change the world. Imagine that. These guys want to change the world. We're going to be back at it. Chris is with me, one of the morning guys here at RBN. Chris, before we launch off on the jury, can I address something that was in that spot break right there that's kind of important to understand? You know, this learning what's going on is you got to learn specificity, and you can't do generalities, you know. They set us up with generalities and zap us with specifics. That's what I've learned. But the guy was talking about red flag laws there. I think he's another host, and they passed a red flag law, but those aren't federal laws. All they did was pass a budget to fund states that want to pass red flag laws, and a number of them already have them ready to hair trigger. Some of them may even had them on the books, but regardless, it's a funding mechanism through the feds, and my personal feeling is, because they are blatantly unconstitutional, you know, any snitch on the the way it's set up, any snitch can call and say, you need to go get Chris's guns. He's a nut over there. He's talking about jury pools and everything. Okay.
Yeah. So the minute like that the Baker Act.
Right. The minute that hits a court, that's going to get thrown out. I just about promise you. But that's how desperate these people are in that issue of guns. So anyway, I don't want to distract from what you were going to say, but I did want to add that. I think it's important.
No, not at all. Here in Florida, there's the Baker Act, and you know,
oh,
just
you're
a
in
friend
Florida?
Or. Yeah, I'm in the Clearwater, Tampa Bay area.
Okay. Oh, you're in real Florida.
Yeah, I'm Florida.
Well, I'm from the Panhandle. See, we call that fake Florida.
Oh, fake Florida. We're deeper south than you are.
Yeah. Well, I'm not there now.
I was born in St. Thomas, so I'm even deeper south.
Yeah, good old Bay County.
Well, you know, the Baker Act here, that a friend or relative can have someone committed just by showing that, hey, I was in communication with them per my phone logs, and show that, yeah, I talked to him and he said, or she said that she was threatening to do harm to herself. And yeah, there's an interview. My a friend at Florida Populist, look him up on Facebook. Florida Populist did a interview with the clerk of the court here about a little under a year ago, and a couple other experts did a whole show on a local radio station, or six Florida stations here that I was on, the Tantalk Network. So, you know, getting it out there. And the clerk of the court was warning against how easily it is to Baker Act somebody. And, you know, Trump said there's a video of him saying, quote, you could take the guns first, go through due process second, end quote. He was for red flag gun laws before he changed his mind, and was for the bump stock ban, or is for the, as last time I checked, for the bump stock ban. And I don't know if he reversed position on that, too. Yeah, I have a long laundry list of things.
The best thing to do is file an affidavit and get all that crap out of your life.
You're right. Go through your process. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I am studying it before applying it. Listening to your
show. Oh, and I'd want
you notes.
To. Yeah. Although there are people that dive into the deep end of the pool real quick, and I discourage that, honestly, because what I've come to learn, Chris, is that the importance, the freedom here, and the re-empowerment that you're going to go through should you do it, that's in learning the information. It's the information acting upon your subconscious and your conscious working together in tandem that brings you back into the empowerment zone. And that is why that's so important. And I discourage people from just throwing paper around, because then nothing changes. They don't learn the information. The world doesn't change when you do it. Nothing's going to change. You are the one that's got to change. And the only way you're going to change is to input that information as fertile topsoil, and everything will happen from there on.
Right. Unconsciously, consciously, super consciously seeing how you have seen yourself and putting that in the rearview mirror. And,
what they're doing, they're separating your conscious and your subconscious by adding this opposite definition to these words in your subconscious. And now those two parts of your mind, which are integral, are not working in tandem. And as the Dr. Bruce Lipton, I heard him say it on Joyce Riley's show one time when she was interviewing him, when the subconscious and the conscious start working together, his words exactly, not mine, it is empowering, and boy is it.
Right on. Well, back to jurors. Jurors can vote their consciences, and that's, you know, outlined at the Fully Informed Jury Association, FIJA.org, and many legal precedents and quotes from our founding fathers. We can, as a juror, vote our conscience for any reason, acquit for any reason we like, and hang a jury. It just takes one juror to hang the jury. But examples of reasons why a juror might want to acquit include if the accused has already made restitution, or the law is being misapplied, the law is silly, law is unconstitutional, or even if they feel it's just to rule against constitutional laws. So as a juror, you can acquit, but you want to do it secretly for fear of your fellow jurors informing the judge that you're voting your conscience, and then risk being dismissed from the jury and possibly even held in contempt by the judge. Because only one juror is needed, there's no need to go for a big victory in trying to tell your other jurors to vote their consciences. So vote your conscience, and just tell your fellow jurors that you feel that maybe witnesses who often contradict themselves, especially in the case of law enforcement witnesses, or other evidence is unconvincing. So we can nullify bad laws sitting on the jury just as a single juror, and prevent the prosecution of the innocent, and slowing the conveyor belt, cash register, prison industrial just us system. Just as a single person, we can be above the law if we are aware of it and help others to do the same. But unfortunately, we got to be quiet about it, because You know, when I give this information out to, say, progressives on talk shows, and they say, well, jurors aren't experts, and we should just be leaving it up to the judge. And, well, the judge withholds so much of the evidence.
Concepts.
What's that?
They don't have any idea of legal concepts, and the purpose of the jury was so that those bad laws couldn't be used on you in the future.
Right.
That's where you're voting your conscience right there.
Right. The jurors aren't aware of the law. They're not generally well educated in the law or the facts that the judge or
when they're sending the jury off, doesn't the judge in his instructions say, "You decide the facts. I'll give you the law."
Yeah, yeah, that is misdirecting juries. That's jury tampering.
Yep. So anyway, Chris, thanks for dropping by, man. If there's anything I can help you with in your understanding of that stuff, I'll give you the open door policy. And nice to meet you, and I appreciate you checking in with us. I think there's a couple other folks, and I don't want to leave folks hanging out to dry. But as we say in South America, mucho gusto.
Right on.
Means nice to meet you.
All right, Roger. Same to you. Take care.
Okay. Thanks for checking in with us, Chris. Sam, who's next there? I don't want to leave anybody hanging at the end of the show here. Joe in Oklahoma. I was just mentioning Joe in Oklahoma, and look there, he just pops up. Hey, Joe in Oklahoma, how you doing?
Well, hot in Oklahoma. So
yeah.
Anyway, what I called about, you kind of moved away from what you were talking about few minutes ago, but the Trading with the Enemy Act.
Yes, sir.
Maybe it was said, but if it were, I did not hear it. But that has been about the only place you can find that is in the United States Code, and it's in Title 12.
Really?
Section 95B. And you know what Title 12 is?
No, I don't, actually. But for the audience, every code has a different subject matter. 26 is IRS, 27 is BATF, 28 is Treasury, etc. Go. What's 12, Joe?
12 USC 95B is money and banking.
Well, I'm so surprised.
Thank you, Dr. Eugene Schroeder, Ed Petrosky, and Dr.
I remember that work, and I bring it up and mention it as much as I can. You tell Mr. Schroeder that I really still try and beat the drum on his great project here, which is the whole. See, everybody talks about changing everything. We can't change anything till we go back and change that. Everything is emanated from that point forward.
Yep. You being knowledgeable as you are, you know, it costs a lot of money to publish anything, but there are no copies that I can find of the Trading with the Enemy Act. War and Emergency Powers by Dr. Eugene Schroeder. It's out of print, and I loaned mine to a fella, and
you never got it back. I know that story.
I never got it back.
Joe, let me ask you a question. If he's willing to, there's a bunch of self-publishers now. I'll tell you who publishes my book is a outfit out of Scottsdale, Arizona, thebookpatch.com, thebookpatch.com. Very interesting story. The owner is a Canadian Jew named Victor Ostrovsky. Have you ever heard of him?
No, sir.
He was a Mossad line officer that defected and wrote books on them. One, you probably never heard of them because they certainly didn't let it get much publicity. One of them was called By Way of Deception, I think was the first one.
I have it in my bookcase.
Okay, well, he's the owner of the book patch.
Okay.
And they shut his books down, and he went and opened up a self-publishing business. Now, I've been using them for 11 years, so tell him to go over there, get it published. I'll promote the hell out of it, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you, Roger. Appreciate all your efforts, sir.
All right, Joe, you're welcome, man. I've got to get this information out. These guys are scared of this stuff getting out, folks. And the battle we've had to fight was there wasn't a whole lot of people that were interested in the old days. Well, there's a lot of them that are looking for answers now, and we got them, okay? We got them. I got a perfect track record, unblemished, 11 years with about four or five different secretaries of state. Okay? Not one of them raised a ruckus. Not one. Not one person that's ever gone through this has ever gotten back to me with any problems in any area of their lives that were caused by doing this. And I call that an unblemished, perfect track record. Okay? If you don't, then tough nubbies. You go argue with the Secretary of State. So, Joe's gone, Sam? Okay, well, nobody else is lined up there, huh? Oh, we do? Well, let's bring them on, man. Oh, Lord, bring them on in. Linda in New Hampshire. I think we might have spoken before. I got a couple of New Hampshire gals up there. How you doing, Linda?
Hi, Roger. Yes, I have spoken to you.
Okay, good. How you doing tonight?
Good. I was wondering how you were.
Pretty good. Pretty good. That's beautiful. Good. We're finally getting some good summer weather down here. That makes all of us happy because the rainy, overcast stuff after a number of months gets real old.
It does. I'm working on my affidavit of citizenship evidence. And
yes, ma'am.
I have a few questions here. The part I have here, I hereby declare I am a New Hampshire state citizen and a U.S. national, or should I say a national?
I'd drop the New Hampshire state citizen, just say you're a U.S. national. Let them figure all that stuff out. Make it as simple as possible. And don't see, people want to, they've studied this and they want to put stuff in there. And the more stuff you put in there, the more things that they potentially can challenge you on.
So I shouldn't say United. I'm sorry. Instead of saying a U.S. national, should I say a national of the United States of America?
They frame it as a U.S. national, and you could either use U.S. national or just national. In that policy document on the State Department website, Certificate of Non-Citizen Nationality, and it says specifically, according to the INA, Immigration Naturalization Act, all U.S. citizens are U.S. nationals. That's their language.
Okay. And then I was also wondering, this is kind of a little picky thing, but I don't know if it makes a difference with those people.
Probably not.
Capital S for state and capital C for California. Isn't that the slave state? Should we put New Hampshire, N and H capped and state small s?
The state should be the small s. Federal states are the capital S. Okay.
Okay, so if I put New Hampshire state...
Yeah, then, I'd put small s there.
And then capital N, capital H.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to capitalize the state. But the state word is a small s. And you
can
prove that down below, that letter there, that policy statement of theirs, and they pull a statement. The origin of the statement is in a piece of legislation called the Nationality Act of 1940, right at the start of World War I, where they passed a big organic statute at large. And the very first definition, they started the whole act with definitions. And the very first one, A, says a national, it doesn't say U.S., it says a national owes total allegiance to a small s state. There's your state citizen right there. They owe complete allegiance, protection for allegiance. Allegiance for protection is the formula for jurisdiction. It's a small s. There's your state citizen right there. And where did they put it? Right at the very start of that voluminous piece of legislation. And they do that. I've caught them doing it with a whole bunch of different. They always put the hook at the front, and I've never heard anybody else recognize that and make that comment. 14th Amendment, all persons born. All of this Code of Federal Regulations, the jurisdictional statements on the first page, right here on this major piece of legislation that set all this up. So they could pull all these shenanigans. In 1940, there's your state citizen definition. Where is it? Right there, definition A. They always put it at the front, and then there's a stack of stuff underneath, and they know you're never going to dwell enough on the front page, never thinking the answer's right in front of you. It is all buried in that stuff, and that's where they're going to get you, and that's where they've had our entire Patriot community, at least when it comes to IRS, ever since I've been in this movement for 30 years.
Hmm.
This month, okay?
Wow.
These are some slick, slick, satanic bastards that we're dealing with here. And don't you dare undersell them.
Now, should I put on the letter to the secretary legal lawful notice?
No, I don't think you need to do that. All you need to do is tell him in the body of the letter. Those are for the other people you're going to put on notice. The cover letter to the secretary, just address it to the Secretary of State. You can put Blinken if you want to on there. The main address is C Street or something. It's over in the document, how to file a national affidavit, that's on my thematrixdocs.com website, and just send it to them with a short cover letter. Please find my enclosed citizenship evidence. Please put it in my administrative file, and see you later. Hugs and kisses. Listen, there's a break. Just hold on, Linda. We'll be back in a second, God willing.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
All right, we'll get right back into the meat. Our last little short segment. Is Linda still on with us or not? Linda, you there?
Yep, I'm still here.
All right. Well, I got two behind you, so if we get your questions, because I don't want anybody to get left out to dry here.
I'm wondering on that part that I have the notary sign. Usually you put state of New Hampshire and the county all caps.
I have no idea. Well, you'll have to ask the notary. I honestly don't know, but you could ask her what standard.
Well, I know how to type it, but I didn't know if that made any difference with what I'm doing. Should I just do it the way the notes?
You can, you know, any time you're dealing with government and these kind of agencies, somebody like you in the situations, it falls under a legal theory called all form and no substance. And what that means is Linda's a layman. She's out there trying to get something like this right, and just because she didn't capitalize something or put a comma right there has no bearing. We see what she's trying to do and see her intent.
Okay.
All right.
Should I should I put my social on the affidavit and the letter, or just the affidavit?
You may want to put the last four digits of it. If you've got a common name that there may be a bunch of Linda Smiths, and mm-hmm. and it might help to put your date of birth, place of birth, and the last four numbers of your Social Security number. Or, better yet, if you've got an existing or an expired passport, use that passport number.
Yeah, I don't have a passport.
Okay. But those that do, they could use it. They don't want to do that other stuff. So, anyways, that get you, Linda?
Yeah, so just put the last four digits of the social.
That's what I do. Yeah, you don't want to put the whole thing there, do you?
I don't know.
Why would people don't want their Social Security number getting out there. If you've got the place of birth and the date of birth, they can trace it back and identify you with those last four numbers if there's a confusion as to you and another Linda Smith. Is my point here.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks so much, Roger.
Okay, sweetie. You call back if you got problems, okay? And I just don't want these two folks that called in to not get at least addressed. So thank you, Linda. Who's next, Sam? Catherine, how you doing this evening? Also up there from the Northeast.
Well, I grew up in Louisiana, though. Did you get that Tinder
Honesty
video?
Yeah. I remember. Yeah, I remember now.
Did you get the video?
Yes, I did. Powerful.
You didn't even email me back. How could you not email me back?
Well, I'm sorry. I was right in the middle of what I call the Sarah Westall explosion, where I literally stayed up all night one night answering emails, okay?
Your southern gentleman manners escaped you. Okay, so I thought of you this week. I was listening to Bobby Gentry. And if you haven't ever heard Bobby Gentry Reunion, have you ever heard that song?
No, I don't know if I have or not. I remember the name and the artist. Didn't they do the on Choctahally Bridge or something?
Tallahatchie Ridge, Ode to Billy Joe, but I want you to listen to Reunion by Bobby Gentry. And just, I've been on this Bobby Gentry kick, and I thought of you. I still haven't looked at your webpage. I've been super busy, but I want to let the next caller get on, so I'm going to go.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, sweetie. Bye. Well, you call in earlier next week, then we'll gab a little bit.
I will. Okay, but take care.
My Louisiana girl. A lot of fun down on the bayou. I heard that jambalaya the other night at dinner. Who's next, Sam, if you would? Dave, bring it on quick, buddy.
Hey, what's up? Hey, I appreciate you squeezing in my call, brother. It's a good show today. Real quick, I just wanted to touch on a point that you made about how that the media hated Trump so much that, he has to be a good person. No, that was the whole scam. They played everybody, making it seem like, oh, Trump was on our side. Yeah, well, if the left hates them and the media hates Trump, he's got to be a good guy. They wouldn't have been able to pull off the Great Reset and shutting down the country if it was Hillary. Like, people might have actually done something if it was Hillary. So he was a lifelong New York liberal his whole life. He was friends with Epstein. Trump's the one that shut down the country. He never backed away from any red flag laws. No, he was the one that set the president to do that. He met with Klaus Schwab and for the Great Reset. If it wasn't for Trump, they wouldn't have been able to pull it off. That's my only point I want to make. I'll take my call there. Thank you, sir, for taking my call.
Dave.
Have a great day.
Okay, thank you. I tell you what, Mr. Trump elicits an awful lot of emotions from people both sides of the aisle. Sure does. He may announce he's going to rerun for president tomorrow. We'll see. Don't know if that is accurate or not, and it wouldn't matter to me because I don't vote anyway. But I do know that he'd be a hell of a lot better than the other candidate that they're already saying may be running, Michelle Obama, 2024. Heard the guy that did the film on Sins of Her Father on Obama, and he's done one on Michelle. And if you want to go check out the trailer on it, it's MichelleObama24.com. And go look and see how they're grooming her to run, folks. So if that doesn't make you shiver, I don't know what's wrong with you. Anyway, there's our whistler. We're out of here. Whoever's next is next. Sam, thanks a lot. You guys have a great 4th of July, and we'll be on the air if you want to join us tomorrow. See you then. If not then, we'll see you next week. Right here.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.